AP Radio News. I'm Tim McGuire. Federal health officials rule out Ebola after a man who had traveled in West Africa became sick on a flight from Brussels to Newark, New Jersey. The CDC says a full evaluation of the man shows no evidence of or concern for Ebola. African immigrants in Dallas, where a man from Liberia is being treated for Ebola, say they're being unjustly singled out by other people.
Just being a black person or just being a citizen from Africa does not mean you have Ebola.
The man being treated in Dallas is now listed in critical condition. Two people are dead in a helicopter crash into the Colorado River in western Colorado. Local media report police and fire officials believe there were at least two people on that chopper when it went down near Loma yesterday evening. Ed and Paula Kasig release a video in which they plead for their son Peter's life.
We implore those who are holding you to show mercy and use their power to let you go.
The Kasig's video was released a day after the Islamic State group's online video threatened to behead Peter Kasig next, following the killing of British aid worker Alan Henning. The 26-year-old has converted to Islam during his captivity. He was abducted a year ago in Syria while providing aid for refugees fleeing that country's civil war. Far more than half of the people surveyed in the latest AP GFK poll say the government can do little to protect the public from threats such as climate change, mass shootings, racial tension, and economic uncertainty. Poll also finds that just 20% of those questioned are extremely or very confident the government can protect the country from another terrorist attack. Protesters outside Hong Kong's government building have apparently agreed to remove some barricades that had blocked the building's entrance for more than a week. This is AP Radio News. It took 18 innings and a playoff record 6 hours 23 minutes for the San Francisco Giants to beat the Washington Nationals 2-1 in Game 2 of the National League playoff series last night. Giants manager Bruce Bochy.
You know, that's a game I'll always remember. It was just a great battle between these two teams.
Bochy's club heads home with a 2-0 lead over the Nationals in their best-of-five series. Game 3 is on Monday. Eighth-inning home run gives the L.A. Dodgers 3-2 win over the St. Louis Cardinals, evening their National League series at a game each. Changes will be coming to the AP Top 25 college football poll. 11 teams, including 4 in the top 6, lost. Look for number 2, 3, 4, and 6. Oregon, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Texas A&M to tumble. Fifth-ranked Auburn should move up, perhaps to second, behind Florida State after the Tigers pasted number 15 LSU 41-7. I'm Tim McGuire, AP Radio News.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Come to the National Academy of Public Administration annual meeting Thursday, November 13th at the DoubleTree in Crystal City. This year's event, Public Administration 2025, How Will Government Adapt?, brings together federal, state, local, and international leaders to find solutions to the greatest challenges facing our nation's governments. The event features an impressive array of speakers from across government, including OPM Director Catherine Archuleta and officials from executive and legislative branch agencies. For more information and to register, visit napawash.org.
Experience the Appalachian Trail like never before. On October 9th, for one night only, the film The Appalachian Trail, An American Legacy hits the big screen in D.C. Hear from exciting guest speakers like a retired astronaut and thru-hiker, and commentary from the film producer himself. Test your luck and win cool prizes. Kids get in for free. All proceeds benefit the Appalachian Trail. Reserve your seat at relivetheat.com. That's relivetheat.com. Enter AT14 for $5 off each ticket.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio. In this hour, you'll hear directly from our region's finest business leaders. Through each of the interviews, these high-achieving leaders become relatable role models who share how they were able to build their enterprise, their personal secrets of success, about leadership styles and opportunities that lie ahead. Prepare to be inspired and entertained and to hear wisdom unheard elsewhere. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. Broadcast from the offices of Optifor Integrated Wealth Management. This is your host, Peter Schwartz, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mark Cohen, who's with Optifor. And we have a great lineup of guests on our show today, including Stephanie Alexander, who's the founder and president of a company called Boost, Denise Garcia Wingart, who's the CEO of Indigo IT, Rebecca Schulte, the president of Comcast Sportsnet Mid-Atlantic, and Katie Crowdy, the co-founder and CEO of Prescient Analytics. First up is Stephanie Alexander, the founder and president of a company called Boost. Tell us a little bit about Boost, Stephanie.
Hi, thank you for having me. Boost helps growing government contractors with their back office support. So we support our clients in the areas of accounting, contracts, HR, and recruiting. But really what I tell people is we do all the stuff they don't want to. Most of these guys get into business, and I tell folks, you never want to start your business to learn how to do QuickBooks or to write policies and procedures or employee handbooks. Our company handles all of those things.
How did you get the idea for the business?
In my prior role, I was the CFO and VP of corporate administration for a growing government contractor, shocking. And quite frankly, we made every mistake known to man. I beat my head against the wall several times. And so my background is I've done each of these areas. I am no subject matter expert, but I know enough to be dangerous. And I knew that if we had a resource that we could use, we wouldn't have to beat our heads against the wall. We could concentrate on business development.
Great. When was the company founded?
It was founded in 2012.
So are you a technology play or a process play? I mean, how would you characterize what you do for businesses with respect to back office?
More process than anything. I'm a big believer in keep it simple, use what the company already has in-house, and then expand as required. I can't get my own printer at home to work, so I am by no means qualified to provide you with IT services.
So you opened the doors on 2012. What was the biggest surprise about starting this company?
Well, I think every entrepreneur believes that they're going to be extremely successful very quickly. And quite frankly, that's not always the case. Yeah. There's a lot of hard work in the beginning.
What surprised you most?
Just how hard the market was going to be in the beginning. I thought that I launched, I tell people, in the height of sequestration, the fiscal cliff, and presidential elections.
So there were no customers to actually talk to.
Exactly. So I think everybody was running scared. So it was
were
a
you
rough
scared?
Of course you're scared, but you
how
know
how do you handle that?
You decide, hey, get up the next day and keep at it, and it beats getting a real job.
Where did you get this? Is it stick-to-itiveness or fearlessness? How would you characterize yourself?
Pretty darn stubborn and fearless.
Where does that come from?
I think it just comes from, you know, you believe in yourself, and doggone it, in the beginning, that's all you got anyway.
So where did this belief in yourself begin? How young were you when you started saying, you know what, I can do this, or I've got the goods?
I started early in life knowing that I was going to have to run a company.
Early in life, how early?
I believe I was probably in grade school, if not younger, playing business, if you will. And then when I got out of college, I said I was going to own my own company, have revenue of $2 million by the time I was 40.
So what was going on when you were around 5 or 6 that says, you know, I think I'm going to run a business someday?
I don't know what it was. I think I was drawn to maybe a calculator and talking on the phone. Had I known that my life would become conference calls, who would have known, right?
But what was your dad doing back then?
My dad actually was running. He was a general manager for a marine industry company.
Uh-huh. So do you think that had something to do with
it? I blame him, yes.
You do? How about your mom?
My mom was a school teacher, and so she was very passionate about what she did and brought definitely the passion came through in me.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Norfolk, Virginia Beach area.
Uh-huh. What was life growing up there like?
you know, very suburbia. So we were the only civilian family, I think, in that area. I had a lot of friends cycle through, but it was a great area to learn.
So you said, you mentioned that in the green room about having to make friends every 6 months. Tell us about that experience and how do you think it benefited you?
Well, I think that you learn to adapt. I think you learn that people come and go in your life, and some people are there for just a short time and some people are there for a long time. And that goes to business too. Some clients are forever and some clients are short term. Some mentors are forever, and some business partners. And you learn that the power of the network and the power to be able to adapt easily.
So talk to us about the power of the network. When did you learn that networking had power?
DC is a networking town. You can go to a networking event every day, three times a day, and sometimes I do. But I learned early on that my service provider friends and my partners were going to be the best sources of referrals rather than individual clients. So I learned keep it in the family. If I'm not making money, I at least want one of my partners to make money. It's good for the industry. I also don't need to build up a network of 100 bankers. I need 5 that I can really trust and know we're going to do the right thing for my clients.
So for you, the spirit of generosity has paid off.
Very much so. It's what I focused on in the beginning. I focused very heavily on networking. I focused on building my network and my team. It didn't matter if I was earning a buck or not. It was all about doing the right thing for people and remaining top of mind and being able to provide value from day one. So you, in this town, you've got to bring the value to them. Nobody's doing anything for free.
Right. Other than mom and dad, significant mentors or influences along the way?
I think it's been a hodgepodge of a lot of people that I've been. I am very much a seeker of advice and counsel. I make the final decisions, obviously, but I'm very collaborative and want to hear what people's opinions are and how they think about things.
When did you realize that it's important to have ideas other than yours?
I believe I've always been that way, quite frankly. I'm the person in the room who will argue another point just to see if that works or not and to make sure, are we listening to everyone? And so for me, it served me very well. I am not surrounded by yes people at all.
So there's a difference between being independent and isolated. You're an independent, make your own decision type of a person, but you like to involve the ideas and input from others.
Absolutely. I want to hear what everybody else thinks in the room. I ultimately have the responsibility. It's my company, but I want to hear and I want to know what I don't know.
What matters most to you about your business?
Growth and providing the type of company that people want to work for. I love my folks. I love my clients. I love helping small business owners succeed.
How would you characterize your culture?
My culture is very transparent. We have fun, actually, and I work with people I want to work with. I didn't go into business to work with jerks, quite frankly. So that's what, when you get to call the shots, you get to work with people that you like.
So where would you like the organization to be in 5 years?
We will be opening up our government contracting arm, so we will be doing government contracting work ourselves. And then I have this is what happens to entrepreneurs, you start getting more business ideas. So there's several other companies in mind.
So Stephanie, I want to take you back to something you mentioned in the green room, and that is you make decisions by following your gut.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
Oh, it's one of those things that I think many people write about, and you can't say what it is exactly, but you know it when you have it, right? And so I've gotten much better at listening to what my inner voice says. I think that there are times when you ignore it because you don't like what it says, and you reap the repercussions of ignoring your inner self, inner just kind of, yeah, if something seems squirrely, it's probably squirrely.
Yeah, so you don't trust your instincts, you obey your instincts.
I try to, yes.
Yeah, is there one incident across the years that, that was the moment that I realized I got to start paying attention to my inner voice?
Just a client, you know, I don't know if this is a defining one, but I thought I had landed this great client. It was going to be this huge engagement. It was going to launch the company. But I knew in my heart of hearts it just didn't seem right, and it just didn't seem like the person was the right decision maker, et cetera. Lo and behold, totally blew apart, didn't happen, no revenue whatsoever, and, your hopes and dreams dashed, literally.
Yeah. How do you handle defeat or failure as concepts?
Suck it up. You know, I mean, we all fail quickly.
Fail quickly.
Fail quickly, get over it, figure out what you did wrong, and know that you're not going to be perfect. Some days good enough is good enough.
So who do you recognize that you have to become in order to you personally in the way that I lead or grow into the leadership role of a bigger organization? What's the learning curve for you?
As I continue to grow, the one aspect of my life that I didn't have before I started this company was business development. And so really being the spokesperson for my company, really getting out there and learning and growing the company.
Right. So this is a show today. The theme seems to be women CEOs. All four of our guests today are women.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think being a woman has done for you or helped you or hurt you or changed you being a CEO?
I'm not sure that it has. I view myself as a CEO first who happens to be a woman. For me personally, I'm in a industry with a lot of middle-aged white guys, quite frankly. That's DoD contracting. That's government contracting. And so, yes, it makes me stand out. That can sometimes be a good thing. It can also be a bad thing. I think that in some circles it brings credibility, in some it doesn't. But I don't think the fact that I'm a woman really has too much difference on anything.
What's your proudest moment up till now, Stephanie, real quick?
I'm proud of my team. I'm proud that my team keeps growing and they like each other and we're doing gangbusters and
great.
We keep going.
Well, best of luck on continued success. And what's the website address?
Our website is boostllc.net. BOOSTLLC.net.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Stephanie Alexander, who's the founder and president of Boost. I'd like to thank Mark Cohen, my co-host, for helping me with the interview. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. This is Peter Schwartz, your host. We'll be back in a moment, right after this business spotlight.
This is Les Smolin with Vistage International, and this is your business spotlight. Joining us today is Isabella Fuentes, Marketing Director at BusinessWise CPAs. Isabella, what is BusinessWise CPAs?
BusinessWise CPA supports government contractors, small businesses, and nonprofits with outsourced CFO and financial consulting services.
And what's your role in the company?
I'm the Marketing Director.
And as the Marketing Director, what does that mean?
Well, I actually wear several hats. My primary role is to improve and extend the branding of BusinessWise CPA through referrals, client meetings, networking in the D.C. area, mm-hmm. As well as supporting current client relationships.
And what do you like most about your job?
I like the most that I don't have to be at a desk all day. I'm out and about meeting new folks and learning experiences from other entrepreneurs.
Right. What makes your organization so special in your view?
I believe our added value is that we are not just a number report kind of type firm. We're very much integrated with our clients. They rely on us for all important decisions. We help them not only with the numbers, but on the future growth of the business.
And what is it that the clients appreciate most about the company?
That they can call us and they talk to the same person every time.
Okay, and who's the perfect client?
Perfect client is small to mid-size organization looking to save on a full-time employee and as well as get the added value of the consulting.
Great. What's the website for the company?
www.businesswisecpa.com.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Isabella Fuentes, Marketing Director at BusinessWise CPAs. This is Les Smolin, and that's been your Business Spotlight. This is Les Smolin with Vistage International, and this is your Business Spotlight. Joining us today is Dr. Shirley Davis, President and CEO, The Success Doctor. Welcome, Shirley. Shirley, what's The Success Doctor all about?
It's a global workforce and talent management consulting organization. What we do is track trends and we identify best practices and strategies for organizations around the world of all sizes, all industries, mm-hmm. and help them understand how to get great talent, how to keep it, and how to make sure that they get the most out of it.
And what's your role in the company?
My role is president and CEO, and I actually do a lot of the coaching and speaking and consulting.
And what do you like most about that?
Absolutely love the strategy development and helping to get leaders to that aha moment.
Mm-hmm. And what makes the organization so special, in your view?
Capturing a lot of the great best practices that we've been able to do. And I think, my brand, I build great relationships and I provide them what they need instead of what I want them to have.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think the clients appreciate most about you and your company?
I make the strategies, even though they're global, I make them very, very customized and practical.
Uh-huh. And who, in your view, is the ideal client, the perfect client?
The perfect client is one that has a need, and the perfect client is one that can recognize that there is an opportunity with the strategies that we provide for them to make their organizations better.
Mm-hmm. And what do you personally enjoy most about the work?
I love seeing the strategies come to life. I love seeing the impact and the results that come as a result of it. Mm-hmm. And I love when they call me back and thank me because they've seen change.
That's excellent. And what's the website for the company?
DrShirleyDavis.com. That's www.drshirleydavis.com.
Thank you, Shirley. We've been speaking with Dr. Shirley Davis, President and CEO, The Success Doctor. This is Les Mullen, and that's been your Business Spotlight.
We're back, and you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the offices of Opti4 Integrative Wealth Management. This is your host, Peter Schwartz. I'm joined by my co-host, Mark Cohen. And for this segment, we have Denise Garcia Van Wingard, who is the CEO of a company called Indigo IT. What is Indigo IT, Denise?
Indigo IT is an IT professional services firm based in Reston, Virginia, government contractor doing IT services.
How'd you get the name Indigo?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. We actually had a list of three names, and I couldn't even tell you what the other ones were, but we did a survey of friends and family, and Indigo was the one that went out. So there's nothing special other
than there you go.
It was just, it stood out for us, and we really ran with it.
When did you start the company?
The company was actually founded in 2001 by my husband and our business partner, and I joined full-time in 2004 as the CEO. Mm-hmm. We started off primarily doing IT services in the commercial sector, but our business plan did include moving into the federal sector and doing government contracting, and we wanted to take advantage of that. I had graduated from Georgetown University with a public policy degree and was working for the National League of Cities, getting my members in front of government agencies. And so saw the connections that I had made there as a ways to try and find our way into the IT.
How big or small are you guys today?
We're actually a company of about 90 employees currently, and we just experienced 143% growth from 2013 into 2014.
How did you prepare yourself to be a CEO?
Oh, how did I prepare?
You have a long business background and MBAs? No?
Definitely not. I'm one of those ones who sort of fell into this, but I think that the path that I had sort of has prepared me for it, because I think in business, and especially in this role, it's all about relationships. And I think that my background in growing up in the small town that I did was always about relationships. You know, I'm from a large Latino family, and my mom's one of 11, my dad's one of 7. And my grandparents were just very involved in the community. My mother was a school board member. My grandfather was a council member, volunteer fire department chief. So there's always been an aspect of community service to what we do. And in those roles, you're always meeting people and you're out there in the community. And I think that in the role of leading a company, you're doing very much the very same things.
So there, it for you, it's just this been this organic growth in your evolution as a person that led to this CEO kind of capability?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, starting a company, you need someone to be the face and to be out there making those connections. And that was an easy role for me to do in our company, given that I had gone to school in this area, grad school in the area, and I had been working with the customer base that we were, you know, that we were going to be approaching. My husband is actually not a Native American. He's actually a South African naturalized citizen now, and our business partner is a West Point grad. But I think that it was just being more comfortable in that role, that front-facing role, that made that a more natural fit for me, even though I may not have the IT, you know, background that my partners bring.
So tell us how being Latino has shaped who you are today as a business leader. Looking back on it on those days, are there some things that you can actually trace back?
Definitely. I think more than anything, it's the values of coming from that culture. I lost my grandmother when I was 5 years old, and we were very close. I mean, I was with her probably every day. She took care of me. And when she passed away, the one thing I kept with me that she always taught me is that you can be anything. And I've heard that all through my life from my family members. My dad would always tell me it's not what we are, but what we can be, and that everybody puts their pants on the same way. And I think when you come from a small town that's predominantly Latino and you don't see a lot of people in power, you don't see a lot of the opportunities that other places have, you want that for yourself, or you want that for your community. And so I think that was something that always stuck with me, that how can I get there? What can I do? And education, it was always the way for me. I excelled in school. I was in sports. I graduated valedictorian and went on to St. Mary's University and was in the honors program and stuff like that. So I always knew that I wanted to achieve.
But I'm sure you've have experienced a bit of a headwind along the way, being Latino.
Well, sure, it can be tough sometimes. But I mean, honestly, I don't feel defined by being. I mean, it's definitely something that's important to me, and it's a big part of my culture. It's a big part of who I am. But I've never felt constrained by it. If anything, I've wanted to prove to people that just because I am a Latina doesn't mean that I can't do as
right.
well.
So I'm meaning it more in these decisions where people either get knocked down by that kind of an event, or they pick themselves back up, dust themselves off, and go forward. You've chosen to do that. What's it about you that allows you to be that resilient and move forward?
I just never give up. I think it's just part of my DNA and how we were raised to just, you know, you always go forward. It's always about, you don't look back. And it's not you never want to be a shoulda, coulda, woulda person. It's always about what can you do, what is possible, and let's make it happen.
So in addition to being a CEO, you're also a mom?
I am. I have two children.
Well, congratulations.
I have a daughter 9 years old and a son who's 7.
How do you balance it all?
Ooh, it's not easy, but I will say one of the things that I really do love about being in this role is the fact that in my role I can have that flexibility to be there for my children when it's needed. But, you know, you've seen lots of studies, you've heard lots of commentary, and it isn't easy. It's a definite balance. But I think that at the end of the day, priorities come up and you know what's important and you know where you need to be. And luckily we're able to, I'm in a position that I'm able to do that.
Well, I work with a lot of women CEOs who have children, and sometimes they're competing priorities and they feel kind of negative or guilty about being able to do it all. Has that ever happened to you?
Sometimes. I mean, it can be a difficult balance, but I think when you have the right support and when you put the right support mechanisms in place, whether that's having someone there to take over your duty so you can be with your children when you need to be, or whether that's having somebody in your stead, whether it's a grandparent or dad or what have you, it's about finding the balance. But I mean, I'm a definite believer that you can have both.
Yeah. Where do you want the company to be in 5 or 10 years from now?
5 or 10 years, I hope that we're still growing. Like I mentioned, we've had great growth. We spent the last year focusing on our strategic plan, and we actually have a plan where we're shooting for 40% growth year on over in. And we're making investments in our employees as well with training and stuff. And because in my industry, you know, many of our employees are actually on government site and not, you know, at company headquarters. So it's really important to create a company culture where people know that they're not just a number, but they're part of something. And so we're going to continue to put those types of things in place so that we can continue to grow and be successful.
Right. And how about you as the CEO of the company? How do you stay fresh and relevant as a leader?
I think you have to do a lot of reading. I think you have to do a lot of connecting and making, you know, your network connections. I belong to a women's presidents group that has been invaluable to me. It's women CEOs that get together on a monthly basis and get to share the things that we're facing and learn from each other. And I think that's really important.
Do you think your grandmother would be surprised at your success?
I don't. I think
if I was interviewing her, what would she say about you?
I think she'd say she knew that she knew it all along. I think she always had that belief in me, and I think it never wavered, and I think I felt it.
Yeah, and if she was sitting here now, what would you want to say to her?
Thank you. Just thank you for believing in me and instilling in me those values and that notion that anything is possible.
Great. What's the website address, Denise?
It's www.indigoit.com.
IndigoIT.com.
IndigoIT.com.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Denise Garcia Van Wingard, who's the CEO of Indigo IT. I'd like to thank Mark Cohen, our co-host, for helping me with the interview. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. This is Peter Schwartz, your host. We'll be back in a moment right after this Business Spotlight. This is Peter Schwartz with Vistage International, and this is your Business Spotlight. Joining me for this segment is Doug Kay, who is a principal with a firm called Offutt Kerman. What is Offutt Kerman, Doug?
Offutt Kerman is a full-service law firm in the Mid-Atlantic region with offices from Philadelphia all the way down to Tysons Corner, Virginia, where I work.
Right. And you're a lawyer with the firm?
I'm a lawyer with the firm.
What practice area do you specialize in?
I mostly do work in commercial litigation, although I also do work with in doing criminal defense and personal injury, anything that gets me to trial.
Anything that gets you to trial. Well, why do your customers appreciate you?
I think they appreciate me because I am a careful and sympathetic listener, and I try to offer concrete solutions to their most vexing legal problems.
Well, give us an example. Do you have, without mentioning specifics, a recent example of where you were really good at this? How about your favorite client up till now, without getting into too particulars there?
Well, I represented a fellow who was in a commercial lease, and the landlord was determined to make him pay more than he should have been paying, and we had to go to court, and we had to go all the way through trial, and the client really appreciated the effort, and we got an excellent result for the client. And that was very satisfying. And since then, he's been talking me up all over town, so I can't thank him enough.
Yeah. What's the best part of practicing law for you?
I would say that it is taking people through difficult circumstances when they think they don't have any options and trying to find a good solution for them.
Great. What's the website address for the law firm?
www.offuttkerman.com.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Doug Kay, who's the principal with Offutt Kerman. This is Peter Schwartz, and that was your Business Spotlight.
This is Les Smolin with Vistage International, and this is your Business Spotlight. Joining us today is Jody Ruth, founder and president of Acumetrics. Welcome, Jody. Jody, what is Acumetrics?
Acumetrics is a firm that works with CEOs that are interested in growing their revenues and bottom lines in a scalable, sustainable way.
And what's your role within the company?
I'm the founder and president.
And what is it about the job that you bring that's so unique to you, that special gift, as we say?
That special gift? I enjoy working with the CEOs to have them achieve goals that they thought were impossible.
And what is it about the organization that makes it so special?
Our clients say that it's the three P's: our people, our platform, and our processes. Our people are highly qualified, and they're fun to work with. Mm-hmm. Our processes are enabling of reliable and timely financial information, and our platform is scalable.
And who is, or what is, perhaps, the perfect client for you?
Businesses of any size that want reliable, timely financial information.
Mm-hmm. And what do you enjoy most about this work?
I enjoy working with the clients and making a difference. We like to help the CEOs understand their financial information so they can make different choices tomorrow to impact future results of the business.
That's great. What's the website for the company?
www.acumetricsllc.com.
Thank you, Jody.
Thanks, Les.
We've been speaking with Jody Ruth, founder and president of Acumetrics. This is Les Smolin, and that's been your Business Spotlight.
We're back, and you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the offices of Optafor Integrated Wealth Management. This is your host, Peter Schwartz. I'm joined by my co-host, Mark Cohen, who's with Optafor. And for this segment, we have Rebecca Schulte, who is the president of Comcast Sportsnet Mid-Atlantic. Tell us a little bit about Comcast Sports Mid-Atlantic.
Rebecca. Well, Comcast Sportsnet Mid-Atlantic is the largest sports media organization in the Mid-Atlantic. We are the home of the Washington Wizards, Washington Capitals, DC United, the ACC, We are also the official sports network of the Baltimore Ravens and the Washington Redskins, and cover all the other teams in the market.
So basically what that means is you produce what kind of product?
So we produce on our linear channel, it's the games, pre-games, post-games, news shows, talk shows, and then we also have CSN Washington and CSN Baltimore, which is our digital entity. So we're a multi-platform media company, so content going on both sides all the time. We're there for our sports fans.
And you're the president.
I am.
How long have you been in that role?
I've been in the role for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
I've been with the network since 2007.
So what do you like most about your job?
It's fun.
What's fun about it?
It's fun. You know, the people are fun. The organizations are great organizations to work with. The athletes are fun. Our talent is great. It's just, you couldn't have a better job. I hate to say that, but it's true. Most people want my job.
So you've been in the role of president for 3 years?
Yeah, 6 years total.
Yeah.
So, but general manager of the station.
Okay, so without being modest, why are you the ideal pick to be president of this organization at this point in time?
I think because as we're evolving, this network is a multi-platform from streaming, games. I have a marketing and production background. I'm detail oriented when it comes to a graphic that flies on right or wrong or what our talent. I'm very close to the product. I love, people always say you must be a huge sports fan. First and foremost, I am a television fan. I love television production. I love every camera. When you watch the Caps games, we have the center ice cam, we have net cams. I love every camera I can get close to the field, to the ice, to the court.
So help me out with one of the words you're using. When you say talent, what's that mean?
Talent or on-air talent. Chuck Hernandez is our host, one of our hosts of Sports Talk Live, Brian Mitchell.
So the actors that are... the people that are reading the news, people you see on TV are what you call talent.
Yes, that's what I call talent. Joe Beninati and Craig Lachlan, who call our Caps game, to Steve Buckhans and Phil Schneer, who call our Wizards games.
And you like to be on the other side of the camera.
Oh, gosh,
so,
yes.
So when you're watching TV, you're not watching the game, you're watching how the show is presented?
I am watching everything that other people aren't paying attention to.
So when did this first become fascinating to you? How long ago?
Since I was in high school. I love everything. I love why people make decisions. And I love it from television.
Well, how did it become interesting to you? You're sitting at home with TV wondering how all this thing works?
No. As a young child in high school, actually, wasn't that young, a twin sister wanted to be an actress, and we would go out for auditions for commercials, or we would be extras on TV sets, Knott's Landing way back when. And I would spend a lot of time with the production guys, talking about camera, lighting, all of that. So that's
what was interesting to you.
That's what was interesting.
So what was your first time you actually did the work?
First time I did anything oddly enough, if no one remembers this, the movie Mask with Cher was my first on camera. If you rent it, if you can find it, there's a 5-second clip of me getting pushed into a locker.
And then at that moment, you realize I'm going to be behind the camera.
Yeah, I was like, I'm done. That's it. That was great.
So where'd you grow up?
In L.A.
What was that experience like for you?
It was fun. But you know what? I think people think that everyone in L.A. is in television. And I grew up 20 miles east of downtown L.A. And not until we were in high school did we even know about the motion picture. You know it's there, but it's not like my family wasn't in it in the industry. So not until I got exposed to it caught the bug. So it's very easy to catch that bug.
So but looking back on it, what was going on in your childhood that kind of shaped who you are today? Forget the professional piece, the fact that you have to lead a company. What's
my dad? I think my dad. It starts with my dad. Dad was always a professional, and he's a very quiet man. But he was a leader. I think he led almost through his silence somehow. But the expectation, like, you never wanted to let him down. You never wanted to let him down. My mom was the talker.
Uh-huh.
So I take after her a little bit.
What about other role models or influences along the way that kind of shaped who you are today?
You know, I would say my parents, but I also, in the unique situation of having an identical twin sister, so you have, like, someone to tell you what you did right and wrong all the time until you're 18. So it's instant feedback.
Yeah. How old were you when you first started making money?
Oh, not until my mid-20s. So like, you right, you finance. It was the whole, you know, you want to... You charge things on the credit card. You try to be as best as you can, but you need to look the part. You need to do what you have to do, rent an apartment that is more expensive than you can afford and hope that you move up the ladder fast enough to eventually pay it back off. But those were the days of like 24% interest.
So tell us about your relationship to risk.
Love it.
I know.
Right?
So how is it that you love risk and other people hate it?
You know what? I think people overthink. One thing I have learned is that you spend way too much time assuming what's going to happen and thinking it out, and you make assumptions. You make assumptions that other people are going to react a way. Oh, if I tell them this, they're going to react this way, and then they don't. And you're like, I just spent a day thinking how I'm going to tell you this. And you were like, fine, you know, somebody goes, fine. And you prepared that they were going to be mad or upset, or people spend too much time, you know, overthinking things, I think, with risk.
Tell us about your first job in the industry.
The first job I had was working in a film lab, but right before, it was owned by Fox at the time, but I was working in a film lab. And it was great. It was, you know, it was back in the days of film and film to tape transfer. I only worked there for a year and then moved over to Fox Broadcasting. And it was the early days. Fox had only been on, you know, the network for 2 years. And it was The Simpsons and 90210 and all those great shows way back when.
So you were telling us in the green room that you took advantage of this, of being on the sports side of the equation early when no one else was willing to do it.
Yeah.
Why?
People didn't want to do it because there was risk involved. They told them their jobs weren't going to be full time, and they, you know, people were like, no, I want to keep my full time job. I was like, are you kidding me? It's the NFL.
Where's it going?
I was like, it's the NFL. So, you know, within 6 months of getting the NFL, then we had Major League Baseball, then we signed NHL, right? Then we had NASCAR. So that risk paid off. So moving over to the sports division.
How would you characterize your style of leadership?
Collaborative, but definitely with a direction. You know, I like to hear other people's opinion. I do consider it, but I also not going to let it be a group decision at the same time. So I think the reason why the company has me is the experience I have. So
what would you say the toughest thing you've ever accomplished is?
Juggling being a mom and a president of a station, and yeah. And I think the work-life balance is tough.
So how do you do it?
You know, I think it's when you have a job like I do, it's you're working all the time. It's life. It's just life, right? I think it's a little bit more of a challenging when you're mid-management. Because you have expectations above you and below you, and I think that's the hardest. That's a harder challenge, and I do work with the women in our office to try to figure that out. But there's a lot of men. A lot of the responsibilities are shifted, where people have to have flexible hours. I think NBC has done a great job since NBC took over 3 years ago when Comcast bought. But we became part of NBC Sports. Even though we're Comcast Sports, and Comcast bought NBC, we became part of NBC Sports. Great opportunities to really work with our employees to get the best out of them, right, while still working and giving them opportunities to be with their family.
How about your proudest moment up till now, Rebecca?
My proudest moment, of course, I would say is my son.
Sure.
He's 5. But I would say professionally my proudest moment was when I became president at CSN Mid-Atlantic.
Uh-huh.
So.
What's the website address?
It's csnwashington.com and there's csnbaltimore.com.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Rebecca Schulte, who's the president of Comcast Sportsnet Mid-Atlantic. I'd like to thank Mark Cohen, my co-host, for helping me with the interview. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. This is Peter Schwartz, your host. We'll be back in a moment, right after this Business Spotlight.
This is Les Smolin with Vistage International, and this is your Business Spotlight. Joining us today is Mark Cohn, founder of Cohn & Burnett, a law firm. Mark, welcome. What is Cohn & Burnett?
We are a law firm that focuses on trusts and estates. So we do wills, trusts, powers of attorney, estate planning, and estate administration.
And what's your role in the company?
I'm the founder and the senior partner.
So what does it mean to be a senior partner?
Well, it means that in our case, I'm the thought leader, the visionary, the one who tries to figure out where we're headed. I'm not the managing partner who runs the day-to-day operations.
Okay, and what makes Cohn & Burnett so special?
We are, first of all, focused on taking care of our clients and just on their estate planning and administration. And I think we're one of the first firms in the area to introduce a fixed fee for doing estate planning.
Interesting. And what do they really appreciate about you and the company, your clients, that is?
You know, the clients tell me that they just love the experience. They are very comfortable and confident that their needs are being met here, and they enjoy working with us.
Hmm. And who or what is your perfect client, if you will?
Our perfect client is anybody who cares about what's going to happen to them when they can no longer take care of themselves or their family.
Mm-hmm. And what is it you actually enjoy most about the work?
You know, talking to the clients, that's the part. I could turn over all of the work to other attorneys here, but I hold on to the first part, which is meeting the clients, talking to them, getting to know them, getting to understand where they're, what they need and what they're looking for.
That's great. What's the website for Cohn & Burnett?
CohnAndBurnett.com, all spelled out, the A and D in between there.
Thank you, Mark. We've been speaking with Mark Cohn, founder of Cohn & Burnett. This is Les Smolin, and that's been your Business Spotlight.
Joining us for this Business Spotlight is Wes Burnett, managing partner of Cohn & Burnett PC. Wes, what is Cohn & Burnett PC?
Cohn & Burnett PC is a law firm that specializes in integrating legal, tax, and financial advice to help our clients.
And what do clients appreciate most about Cohn & Burnett?
The integration of the advice so that the client gets the best possible legal, tax, and financial result.
So who is your perfect client? What do they need?
The perfect client is someone who's intelligent and caring and wants the best possible legal, tax, and financial advice that they can get.
And why do you enjoy your work?
Because I love my clients, and they know that I appreciate them, and I'm trying to do the best by them.
So how many people work here?
We have a total of 10 people working here for the firm, not counting part-timers.
And why do they like to work for you?
Because they know that they're doing what's best for the client, and they enjoy the satisfaction of doing well by the clients.
And what's the company's web address?
www.cohenandburnett.com.
Thank you for listening to this Business Spotlight.
We're back, and you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the offices of Opti4 Integrated Wealth Management. This is your host, Peter Schwartz. I'm joined by my co-host, Mark Cohn. And for this segment, we have Katie Crowdy, who's the co-founder and CEO of a company called Prescient Analytics. Did I get that name right?
Prescient? You did.
What is Prescient Analytics?
Prescient Analytics is a big data analytics consultancy firm. We provide support really helping organizations fuse their technologies as well as their analytics. We supported over 40 organizations across 6 continents, spanning from the intelligence community to top 4 financial firms.
Okay. Katie, what's big data?
Big data at its core is if you have a really hard problem, then oftentimes what it means is you're going to have a lot of data and you're not going to have a lot of time to figure out the right answer. We help our clients find that right answer.
When did that become important to you?
I think it became important to me when I was serving in the military. We deployed as part of the surge in Iraq, and really what that meant was a lot of West Coast technology firms wanted to get their tools implemented at the most important mission in the world. What that meant was that we didn't have a lot of time to get trained up, unfortunately, on those tools or get those tools to work together. So what happened downrange was I learned the value of really great innovative technologies combined with really smart, passionate people.
So you were deployed in Iraq. So you were actually dealing with the big problem firsthand.
Yes.
And you were an Army captain.
Yes, correct.
Out in the field in Iraq, in Helmand Province.
In Iraq, then later as a contractor with Prasand in Helmand Province, Afghanistan. So both theaters.
So I'm fascinated. Why join the military?
I wanted to join the military since I was a young child. I think that I always had a desire to be a part of something greater than myself. And I think the military is a great way to really pay homage to that.
So as a young child, I wanted to be a part of something greater than myself. How does a young child get to that?
How does a young child decide that they want to be a veterinarian or a fireman?
Yeah. So in your case, though, what was going on that kind of stimulated that kind of imagination?
I think maybe it was a combination of the lessons learned from my parents. I think that from my father, he told me when I was very young, say no to drugs, say yes to everything else.
That's just awesome. So you took him seriously, right?
I took him very seriously and to this day. And my mother, she was a model. She was a tornado chaser. She was a business owner, a true passion and curiosity. And I think both of those lessons I hold with me today.
So you, from that, you came up with this great tagline, this ruthless pursuit of experience. That's yours.
Yes, I do. I believe that some people are born young with a desire to be entrepreneur, and they have the lemonade stand. I think that for me, it truly is a ruthless pursuit of experience. I think that it gives me a unique viewpoint that if anything is worthwhile, it's going to come with a combination of perseverance and sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. What did you take away from your years in the military?
I think that what I brought away from the military was one, great relationships, great skill sets. And I think the desire that and the belief that you can truly be part of something greater, and whether that's in the military or outside, what we do at Prasand, we still pay honor to that.
So at what point you realized that what I'd like to do in the military, I could actually do better from the outside?
Correct.
Is that how it worked for you?
I think that when founding Prasand, the belief was that if you were able to select the people that you were going to work side by side with, and then you can select also the technologies that you truly believed were at the forefront, then you could help people better than being assigned people and being assigned tools. Uh-huh. And that's what we aspire to do.
How'd you come up with a name?
The word forethought is the most common word that is used in the book, The Art of War. And the book attempts to dissect diplomacy and war and helping people overcome great challenge. And prescient is the Latin variation of that word, of prescient. And we believe that in the line of work that we do, for the customers that we support, forethought, personally and professionally, is really always at the front of our minds.
I'm curious, what would you tell a young woman who's listening to us right now, who's thinking, maybe I'll go into the military, maybe not?
I would tell any young man or any young woman that I believe that the military is a wonderful institution. I truly believe in the mission. I think that you can meet some of the most incredibly passionate, capable people that you will ever meet on a mission that you will never have in the corporate world. And if you want to serve, it's a wonderful organization. I also have great friends in USAID, in the Peace Corps. And those are other ways that you could provide service as a civil servant.
So is it about influence, impact? What is it for you that really kind of drives who you are today?
I think it goes back to being able to influence people.
In some positive way.
Yeah, to help make this world a better place. I think at the core of what we do at Prasand, at the core of who I want to be as a person and aspire to be, is to help make that mission come true.
So the company's relatively young. What surprised you the most when you started, the shift from military to private?
I think that I was surprised it was a hard shift for a lot of us to make from the military. You feel guilty, I would say, a lack of patriotism, because very much all of us could serve very great careers in the military. And I think that we made a big gamble as individuals and as myself as the founder to make a company that believed that we could help influence the world as good, if not better, than as when we were in the military. And I think that that gamble paid off. And I think it was surprising when I look at how many organizations we support today. It is wonderful to see that we are affecting them so intimately, that we're on the news regularly, that behind the scenes we're helping make positive influences across the globe.
What do you see as your biggest challenge for the business going forward?
We started with what we knew best, and I think that's a great way to start a business. We were in the government, and we started with the military, went to the FBI, and continued to go across into the commercial sphere. I think as we really blow out our commercial sector, I think that's going to be challenging but incredibly exciting.
How do you balance your work life with the rest of your life?
I think to be a good entrepreneur, you really need to get your priorities straight. You need to know what personally as well as professionally you want on a day-to-day basis, or you're not going to be an effective leader. And so I think that understanding sacrifice when it comes to your personal life as well as your professional life, and you need to understand and be okay with where that ends up. And I'm very grateful to have a wonderful husband and a wonderful son who support me throughout all of my adventures.
So you're clearly very successful, very passionate, very high-powered. All of that driven to have a positive influence on something or situation. What's it like for you to have that kind of passion and want to bring influence to a situation that you can only have minimum impact on?
One, that has happened to varying degrees throughout my career. I think that when it comes to certain situations, especially cultural, you can incur a certain amount of obstacles that you cannot overcome because you're there for a minimal amount of time. And I think it's about understanding, and it's my belief in individuals, is your ability to affect change starts with one.
Yeah.
And I think I have a true belief that from there you can scale.
Great. What's the website address, Katie?
www.prescientanalytics.com.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Katie Crowdy, who's the co-founder and CEO of Prescient Analytics. I'd like to thank Mark Cohen, my co-host, for helping me with the interviews today. We have a great lineup of guests on our show, including Stephanie Alexander, the founder and president of Boost, Rebecca Schulte, the president of Comcast Sports Mid-Atlantic, Denise Garcia Van Wingart, the CEO of Indigo IT, and finally Katie Crowdy, the co-founder and CEO of Prescient Analytics. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, for more about our executive leaders. I'd like to thank you, our listening audience, for helping us continue this show. Without you, we wouldn't have a show. And if you'd like to hear the show again, don't forget to visit us at businesstalkradio.net. This is Peter Schwartz. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to Executive Leaders Radio, the region's premier radio show highlighting local executive leaders. We hope you've enjoyed the show here on 1500 AM. You can learn more about Executive Leaders Radio by visiting executiveleadersradio.com or tune in next time right here on 1500 AM. That's executiveleadersradio.com.
The 14th Annual March of Dimes Heroines of Washington Gala will honor women who exemplify leadership and are making a difference in our community. From CEOs to rising stars, this year's finalists will be recognized for their significant volunteer contributions at a Black Tie Awards presentation on Tuesday, November 18th at the Ritz-Carlton Tyson's Corner. All proceeds from Heroines of Washington will benefit the March of Dimes mission to give all babies a healthy start in life. Since 2001, the event has given awards to 80 heroines and has raised more than $1.7 million to support the March of Dimes effort to help women have full-term, healthy pregnancies and healthy babies. To learn more about the March of Dimes, to purchase tickets to Heroines of Washington, and make a donation, visit marchofdimes.org/heroines. Join them in celebrating these inspiring women who go above and beyond to improve our community. WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
This paid commercial may not...